With us now is the historian Robert Hutchinson, and it was, as mentioned, 155 years ago today that President Lincoln, President number 16, was shot and died the next day in the midst of a great crisis in American history, the greatest crisis in our country's storied history. And Robert Hutchinson's book is What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination. And Robert Hutchinson has mentioned Abe Lincoln. He was a president during the most perilous of times in American history, and many thought his life would end tragically, and it did. But you say there are all kinds of stories behind the story that you have delved into in your book. What did you find that surprised even you in looking back 155 years?
What really surprised me is how much similar things were back then to our own era. I was shocked by the more I researched it, how similar the political world was to what we're dealing with. I mean, Abraham Lincoln was despised by at least half the country. He had a lot of people that despised him in the North as well as in the South, because he was, a lot of people were being killed in this war, and the newspapers were absolutely savage. I mean, if people think of Trump derangement syndrome today, they should read what people said about Lincoln back then. So, it just seems that the political divisions were very strong. Republicans and Democrats were fighting back then. They're still fighting today. There was even an epidemic right around the time when Lincoln went into the White House. There was a typhoid fever epidemic that claimed the life of Lincoln's very beloved 11-year-old boy, Willie. And he could barely function for a month after that, because he just sat in Willie's room for weeks on end and just openly sobbing. So there's a lot of similarities between then and now, and I just was fascinated by all of that.
All right. We know John Wilkes Booth shot President Lincoln, but did he have accomplices?
He certainly had accomplices. The question is whether he had accomplices among the upper echelons of the Confederacy. That's a $1,000 question. We know that Booth was aided by some Confederate couriers and sympathizers like John Surratt and Thomas Harbin. He met with Confederate agents during the trip to Montreal, Canada, and they gave him some names of people in Maryland. And there's a couple of big-name historians who advocate that the Confederacy was behind it. I personally don't believe it was, because Booth was basically inept. He was an actor, not a fighter. He had never seen a single day of combat in his life. He didn't know what he was doing. His attempts to kidnap Lincoln were comical. They didn't know where Lincoln even was half the time. And his various plans for pulling off the kidnapping were so ludicrous they wouldn't have worked. So, for all those reasons, I think it was basically Booth acting on his own. The Confederacy might have known something was up. It was certainly in the air, but I don't think they were directly, actively helping him.
How did Booth evade the largest manhunt in U.S. history for 2 weeks despite being unable to walk?
Yeah, that is one of the funnest parts of the story, because basically he vanished into thin air. He broke his leg when he jumped off from the stage onto the stage. Everybody knows that part of the story. And then he went to Dr. Mudd's house, who was a Confederate sympathizer. And Dr. Mudd set his leg as best he could, but basically it didn't do much good. He could barely walk. And what happened is that Dr. Mudd sent him to a couple of people, and eventually a Confederate smuggler by the name of Thomas Jones told him and said, look, the largest manhunt in history is going on right now. Every single soldier in the U.S. Army for the next 200 miles is searching every house, every barn, every road, every footpath. They are going to catch you unless you do what I say. And this is a very brave thing for him, because he could have gotten $50,000 in reward money for turning Booth in, or he could be executed for helping him. He decided it was his duty to help him. So he said, this is what you have to do. You have to lie down in a pine thicket in the cold and the wet. Don't light a fire. I promise I'll bring you food every day. And newspapers, Booth said. He wanted newspapers because he wanted to read his reviews. And being the actor that he was. And that's exactly what they did. They, for five nights, Booth lay down and hiding in plain sight in this wooded thicket. And eventually the Union soldiers who were searching everywhere got a report that was false, that there was a sighting of Booth in Virginia. So they all left. The whole area just suddenly, everybody left. And that's when Booth was able to get in a rowboat and try and cross the Potomac to make his getaway into Virginia. The irony was a false report alerted some detectives, and they went to this place where the sighting of Booth had been, and that just happened by sheer coincidence to be where Booth headed. And so he ended up getting caught because of a false report that he was seen down there, and the detectives, not knowing, so went right where he was going by.
All right. Well, he was shot in a barn. We know that. Could he have been taken alive?
Sure, he could have been taken alive. The reason he was caught was that he was at a family that had some sons that were in the Confederacy and had come home, and they decided he passed himself off as a returning Confederate soldier, and so they thought that was their duty to help him. But after a day of having fun and being wined and dined and so on, he got a bit paranoid and hostile, and they started to suspect that he might be dangerous. So when he slept the night, they told him he could sleep in the barn, but they locked it. It was a tobacco barn, and they locked the door. And so when the federal troops, the Union troops, showed up in the middle of the night, Booth was trapped in his barn. He wouldn't come out, so they set it on fire. And there were slats between the boards of this barn so they could see in. And this one soldier named Boston Corbett, who was a very odd guy, claimed later that he saw Booth raise his carbine rifle. And so he took a shot and shot him through the neck.
Randy and Zachary. Randy, please be brief. You're on with Robert Hutchinson. Hi, Randy.
The situation with Lincoln and the aftermath of the trial of Mary Surratt was so outrageous because it was a military trial and it should have been a civilian trial. She was denied due process. Thanks.
All right. Do you want to respond, Robert?
Yeah, Mary Surratt is one of the people that probably got a raw deal, although it's not quite clear whether she knew about everything or not. But she was definitely the people that ruled that she was guilty also recommended that her life be spared. And Andrew Johnson, the vice president, refused to see his daughter, claimed he never saw the request for clemency, and almost certainly she was executed because Andrew Johnson wanted her to be executed. The warden of the prison was doing everything he could to save his life. He didn't want to hang her, but Andrew Johnson basically refused all requests from anybody to see him, and so the execution went forward. So, yes, that was probably a miscarriage of justice.
The book is What Really Happened, The Lincoln Assassination, from Robert Hutchinson, out and about now, and you'll find out why John Wilkes Booth had a clear shot at the president on April 14th, 1865. Talks Louisiana's support comes from Brian Lowe Financial.